Welcome to a podcast of the Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
First new message.
Hey Mike, it's Wally. I'm just looking at those plants right now, and they really got it bad. I don't know where it came from. Who knows? But I don't know if they're going to be worth saving, to be honest with you. You can try some of that Green Cure. If you want to spray it in the evening when it's a little cooler outside or something like that, but those plants are in bad shape. Probably somebody in the neighborhood caught a real bad case of powder mildew and it's just floating around in the neighborhood. Plus those earth boxes, I think that's a humidity type thing where the water rises up from the inside of the box and it creates an extra humid environment for the plants, which is good in a way, but then again, too, you know, something like this happens. So I'll talk to you soon.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Angie's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a kolachki's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. And true currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. He's seriously, strenuously, and severely green, and it gives him a headache every week.
Ouch.
Here he is, Mike Novak.
Yeah, the evil Dr. Wally. I don't know if that's from last year or I think it's a couple of years before. Yeah, I think it was the first year we had back at the old studios, back on the south side, in South Pulaski. We had the earth boxes out in the parking lot. Ah, Denny, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
I think it should be an ongoing segment, just take those calls and the scary music in the background. That was funny.
well, you know, when you get that call from the guy who's looking at the pathology of your plant, he's looking at the samples and the photos you send him, and he's going, oh, that's not good. Oh, I don't know what happened here, Mike, but those plants are, they're goners. And what happened was we had these earth boxes out in the parking lot, and of course, in the old building, we had a slightly larger parking lot, and it was, you know, paved over, asphalt, concrete, brick wall. And I wanted to make sure they got plenty of sun. And I had these earth boxes out. And, man, we got hot really quick.
Yeah.
And they fried. And then we got powdery mildew on them. And it took out our vines. Our tomatoes ended up doing pretty well. And some other stuff we had did okay. But the vines and the squashes and the cucumbers really got hit. They were goners. I can't blame Wally, but for a while we started calling him the evil Dr. Wally. Today the good Dr. Wally, the good Dr. Wally will be on the show today. Wally Schmidtke, from Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines, second hour. And what's really, really cool, it's the triumvirate will be here in the second hour. Jennifer Brennan from Chalet, also my co-host on Dig In Chicago. And I hope you were all watching that yesterday at 10 a.m. on Comcast, channel 102. I was. I had nothing better to do. I thought that was our best show yet.
I was going to ask, how's that been going?
it's getting better and better and better. You know, everything has a learning curve. You can't just jump out of the gate. You know, even Cheers, the first few episodes, I'm sure, weren't that good.
Oh, yeah.
Seinfeld wasn't that good.
Seinfeld definitely was not that good.
We're starting to hit our stride here, and I like episode number 4. That's the one that premiered yesterday, and it's on again next Saturday, 10 a.m. So what we do is we do a new one, then we repeat, and we do a new one and repeat all through the summer. And I hope you guys tune in to Dig In Chicago. And, of course, you can always catch it online. We've even gotten that straight on, and I'm really, really happy about it, which is we have the podcasts now. You can go to mydiginchicago.com and over on the far right, the upper right, there's a link that says podcast. You click on that, bam, you got full episodes. We've got the first three. The fourth will be up any time. It's I'm hoping today, maybe tomorrow. I don't know. I actually haven't checked. You know, maybe somebody can check and see if it's up there already. But it's all coming together. We really have a great time shooting these things. I've gotten to know a lot of great people in the Chicago area, and I already do because I get to talk to them every week on the show. But we got to go out to a lot of great garden centers and ball horticulture out in they're in West Chicago, but we went way out to Elburn to talk to them, and then we were in Virgil, Illinois, to talk to Midwest Trading. Yeah, we do some we shoot these episodes. It's really kind of interesting because the crew comes in from Denver to shoot them because the whole thing's based in Denver, and but it's all local. We shoot all local, but the problem is they get on a plane, they fly into Chicago, and we start at like 7 a.m. on a Monday and finish at 7 p.m. on a Wednesday, and we shoot 3 episodes in 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
A little more hustling involved in television. Right?
Yeah, yeah, a lot. You know, right. Radio seems really laid back by comparison. Yeah. Can I wander in here? Let's see if we can get a guest. You know, because in radio, the guests come to me.
Mm-hmm.
In television, we go out to them
yeah.
with the cameras. So it's usually 3 crazy days. And then they put them together, and then in 6 weeks we do 3 more crazy days, and so we've shot half of the series this year, and I hope that people are enjoying it. And you know, if you do, you should go to Dig In Chicago on Facebook. You can even go to Mike Novak, the Mike Novak Show on Facebook, and tell me how you like it. And I hope that folks are watching it. I know we got a really, really nice review the other week from My Skinny Garden, who just really liked the show, and I, you know, my thanks to her. And so I mentioned the two of the triumvirate in the second hour: Wally Schmidtke, Dr. Wally from Pesci's, Jennifer Brennan from Chalet and Dig in Chicago, but Dr. Earth himself is going to be on the program, Milo Seamus. So I know that, both Jennifer and of course they're a great sponsor of the Mike Novak Show, Dr. Earth. And I know that Jennifer and Wally love the products, but you know, we're not just going to talk about Dr. Earth products. What we're going to talk about is what's happened this year. And with plants, it's been, if you're in this area, and I can't speak for the whole country because I know Annie Haven's listening out on the left coast this morning. She's already tweeted me to let me know that. Thanks, Annie. Here's a shout out to you. And Green Soil, you should follow her on Twitter at Green Soil. In a lot of the country, we had that really warm spring, the warm March, and then it got cool. And then it got dry, and both Jennifer and Wally tell me they're seeing things on plants that they have never seen before. This is it's the Midwest has become a big petri dish this spring as we lurch into summer. Now, that's why it's always so interesting to hear Rick DeMaio, and who's going to be here at 9:45 to talk about the weather, because he then says, oh yeah, and by the way, it's going to be dry, or it's not. I mean, or maybe he can explain last week's drop from 97 degrees to 50 degrees in a matter of 3 days. I know. And Denny, you're shaking your head.
Not a fan. Teasing me. Ready for the warm weather. Let's
are you ready?
It's cold again.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's get it on.
Well, I'll be ready. Then it'll get cold again.
I know. It's and it was kind of funny because I was watching Diggin' Chicago last week. And we taped this thing 2 months ago, the one that aired last week. And there I was on camera saying, well, it's time to put your warm season veggies in the ground. And, you know, you got to try to do these things in advance. That's how television works, especially if you know, not live television, but taped television. Yeah, you got to put your veggies in the ground now, cause the warm ones, because it's, you know, we're after the frost-free date in Illinois. And I'm watching that and thinking, well, duh. Well, duh, of course we are, you know, because when I was watching it, it was 90 degrees. And then 4 days later, it was 50. And I thought, oh, because one of the things I said on the TV was, but pay attention to the weather forecast and see what's happening. And I thought, wow, I'm really good. Wow, I let people know that ahead of time. Yeah, because it happened. We didn't, none of us thought this was going to happen as we went through May and things just got warmer and warmer. And then we got to Labor or Memorial Day, rather, and it was in the 90s. We said, well, we're done with this stuff. Yeah. And then it was 45 degrees mm-hmm. 3 days later. That's Chicago, folks. Welcome. So 773-763-9278 if you have any questions or comments, because the first hour is kind of freeform. With me, and then the second hour we have the big three who will come in and talk about your plants and what's been happening this year. So you might want to line up those questions. If you're Jennifer tells me she's given some really interesting advice to people who are growing roses, like cut them back. Stuff she says she's never done before. You know, cut them back to 12 inches from the ground because they're so covered in black spot and fungus and rust and everything, and they're advising start over. Still plenty of time in the summer because some of them leafed out, and we'll talk leafed out too early. We'll talk about that later on. Also, in just a second, I'm going to talk a little bit about what's been happening in Springfield in the last couple of weeks, and lots of legislation, some good stuff, some bad stuff. It's kind of interesting the way these things play out, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I think when it comes to laws and legislation, folks usually have a pretty good idea what's going on in their own city, and they have a good idea of what's going on even in the national government. But as for the state government, I think it falls between the cracks. Really, I think a lot of time, and the way that these things play out, it seems to me sometimes in Springfield and perhaps other states, it's almost like it's the end of the season. You know, they're trying to get out of there and go home for vacation, kind of like school when you put off doing your term paper till the very last second, and then and it's like a room full of people doing their term papers at the very last second. And they're throwing all these things in there. Yeah, we got to get this done. And I haven't really thought about that, but let's put it in there anyway. And that's how you get legislation, kids. And some of it's good and some of it's not so good. And, you know, this is a democratically controlled legislature, the General Assembly, and the governorship in Illinois. Trying to imagine what goes on in Wisconsin right now. Trying to imagine what happens in Indiana. You know, I'm the environmental guy, and I think, well, you know, we got the Democrats there, and they're all for the environment. Not so much sometimes. You got to kick them. You got to prod them. You got to push them. You got to call them. You got to write to them. You have to. Well, I'll talk about that in just a little bit. 773-763-9278. As Dr. Wally at Pesci says, don't panic, go organic. And Pesci's Garden Center in Des Plaines has a huge assortment of organic fertilizers and amendments that, when combined with integrated pest management, IPM, is not only environmentally friendly but more effective than commercial chemical products. Going organic is not only good for growing the things that you eat, but it's good for the butterflies and hummingbirds that flock to your garden. as non-organic pesticides can kill these lovely creatures. Pesci's is also hummingbird feeders and nectar for sale. Dr. Wally says to be sure to keep these receptacles clean, as the bacteria that grows there can also be deadly to your hungry feeders. So that's good advice. Stop by and chat up the knowledgeable staff at Pesci's about any gardening scenarios you're facing. They're sure to have some wisdom to share. Pesci's Garden Center is just minutes off of I-294 at 170 South River Road in Des Plaines. For more information, visit them online at Pesci's.com. Pesci's, three generations of attentive service, expert advice, and uncompromising quality.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Here's a tip from the care of trees. From time to time, I talk about Joe the landscaper doing tree work, and it reminds me of what happened in my own neighborhood last year. You know, you can't make this stuff up. I was sitting on my porch. I heard a thud. And then I watched the power lines whip back and forth for a little bit. Yeah. Denny's looking at me like, mrr. I looked down the block and I saw some folks up 30 feet in the air pruning a tree in the dark. Yikes. Now, apparently they had cut a huge branch that fell onto the wires, you know, bounced off the wires and then onto the ground. All I can say is that we were lucky that the power wasn't cut off, or worse, could have been a lot worse. That's why I insist that you hire a company with trained, educated, and certified tree professionals like The Care of Trees. You know, I don't know why people don't want to call a tree care company. They just think they can get up on a ladder and do everything themselves. You people are nutty. The Care of Trees is bonded and insured to protect you and their workers. You can't say that about Joe the landscaper or your crazy neighbors. Make The Care of Trees your permanent partner in enhancing the value of your landscape. Invite the certified arborist at The Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220, The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. Thought I'd wake you up on a Sunday morning here. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. So I started to talk a little bit ago, and like I said, second hour today, lots of garden problems that we're going to address that you might have seen this year. Well, I got a tweet here, and that's interesting. I know there are a lot of, gardeners who are worried about their flowers, etc. But I wish you and your guests would talk about the trees. Well, we talk about trees a lot on this show. We do talk about trees. In fact, we'll talk about that a little bit later on today. So I try to get as much stuff. You know, you talk about one thing, you make some people happy, you make some people unhappy. I do more gardening. Some people want more environment. Some, you know, environment. People want more gardening. Pedaling as fast as I can here, kids. Good news on the environmental front. You know that for some time, several months, I've been talking about the landfill ban in Chicago and how that was being threatened. And it's a long, complex story. Landon Lakes wanted to, well, they went to court, basically, to see if they could de-annex a parcel of land, give it over to the city of village of Dalton, which was a land, used to be a landfill, still the remnants of the landfill are there. And they wanted to continue adding stuff to it, took it to court and won. That was the weird thing. A Cook County associate judge said, yeah, we'll let that land go over to Dalton. And as timing would have it, this past week, the Illinois House voted on HB 3881. And I went to a rally at City Hall last Tuesday, I believe, which was to urge the House to vote for it because it would ban landfill in Cook County. And it passed. It had already passed the Senate. And by a vote of 63-49, the House backed the bill that prevents state EPA officials from issuing permits in counties of 2 million or more people. Well, in Illinois, that means one county. I'm pretty sure. I think that's just the Cook County. At any rate, it passed. It's going to the governor's desk. I guess we assume it will be signed by Governor Quinn. And that's good news coming out of the legislative session, as I talked about earlier, where, you know, you've got all the legislators doing their term papers and getting them in at the last second. And this is one that got in, and we kind of like the way it turned out. Now, this doesn't, you know, it's interesting because on my blog, and I do have a blog, and you can go to MikeNovak.net to find this out. I got a response from a guy who was really against this whole thing. And he says, you know, people of Cook County are just sending their garbage elsewhere. They should landfill it themselves. And I agree with him to the point that we haven't learned how to deal with our own waste. We don't recycle enough. We don't reuse enough. We're not creative about it. The city of Chicago dithered for 15 years in the recycling program. You know, Blue Bag was an unmitigated disaster, and the education there isn't there right now. You know, the administration says it's rolling out, wants to finish rolling out Blue Cart by the end of next year. But I have the example in my own neighborhood where Blue Cart got rolled out several weeks ago. And some people have an idea what to do and most people don't. Some of those blue carts are still in the front yard. They haven't even gone to the alley. You know, folks look at them and go, whoa, what's that? Because there isn't really follow through. You can't just roll those things out and then expect people to know what to do with them. Now, there are a lot of people who already do. But even the people who think they understand how to recycle don't. And I'll tell you the number one problem. Folks still think you put your recyclables in some kind of plastic film bag and throw it into the recycling cart. That's not how it works. You do not put film plastic in a recycling bin. But everybody does it, probably because it's easier. But I think some people think, well, no. Remember when we had Blue Bag? That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to put it in a garbage bag or a plastic bag and throw it in. But that is not the case. You're not supposed to put that stuff in there. And I can open every blue bin, everyone, except mine, because I'm a recycling nerd. But I'm trying to do it right. You know, that's the other thing. I point at myself and say I'm a nerd. No, I'm just doing it right. But I can go to every bin on my block, everyone, up and down the alley, and look in it, and there will be, even if they get it right and put in, don't put in garbage, just put in the recyclables, there will be plastic bags. The stuff will be in plastic bags. So we need education. So I agree with the guy who wrote about that. But that being said, hooray for passing HB 3881. Get the landfill shut down in Cook County. And now we need to figure out how not to create so much waste. How not to use so much junk that we have. And we, folks, we buy a lot of junk. And we create stuff. And when Carl Zimring was on the show from Roosevelt University a couple of months ago, I was fascinated. He was talking about cars and the way we make automobiles. And so much of the stuff we use, you know, we don't build cars with wood planks and steel anymore. No, it's all these plastics and different fabrics, none of which is recyclable, and you have to find ways to reuse them. It's amazing. You know, even as we're trying to preach the gospel of going down that road, the recycling road, here we are coming up with more and more ways to create more and more waste. So that's that little rant for a second. Okay, so HB 3881 passed, banning landfills in Cook County. Hooray. Then I got an email from Emily Carroll, who's been on the show with Food and Water Watch. She's the Midwest Region Director. She writes, because we were talking about privatization, water privatization in Illinois. She said, as the Illinois legislative session ended, a proposed piece of legislation that would have guaranteed water rate increases for communities served by Illinois American Water and Aqua Illinois died with it. It was SB 3573 would have allowed for additional rate increase. They would have done away with public oversight currently provided by the Illinois Commerce Commission on rate increases, despite the fact that these communities are already paying some of the highest water rates in Illinois. And she was mentioning Champaign, Urbana, Bolingbrook, Homer, Glen, Peoria, Pekin, Lyle, and Kankakee. She also writes, this is the second year in a row that this kind of legislation has been introduced in Illinois. Despite the poor track record that Illinois American Water and Aqua Illinois have demonstrated regarding everything from fire hydrant maintenance to chronically low water pressure to extreme billing errors, this bill came perilously close to becoming law when it passed the Illinois Senate. I believe this passed the Illinois Senate 52-0, if my memory serves me correctly. That scared the heck out of me. What is going on down there to privatize our water? And yet it didn't make it through the House. Emily Carroll continues, in the future, our state legislators need to commit to rejecting a bill that strips consumers of the little oversight that exists of private water utilities in Illinois so that their constituents are not left to the mercy of companies like Illinois American Water that have consistently prioritized their profits instead of delivering safe, clean water at affordable rates to Illinois families. So that was it was a victory, but it was also a bullet dodged. And you know it's going to be back, and it's going to be back year after year after year, which means you have to be ever vigilant. So two good things came out of the session. Some of you, you know, and it's interesting. I get a lot of alerts. I'm sure a lot of you who listen to this show and are in Illinois, or perhaps not in Illinois. I've just lost my train of thought. Just went boop.
773-763-9278.
Tell Michael what his train of thought was there. I know what I was going to say. That I get a lot of these things in the mail, and I'm sure a lot of you do. And sometimes they're national things. And, hey, you know, let's pitch in and, you know, move on sending you this and somebody sending you that. And I get on a lot of environmentalists and, boy, I get a lot of emails. And they're always saying, you know, we have to act now. You've got to act right now. And you got to send money and you've got to call. You got to call your legislature. And all of these things are important. And one of them was about a bill, SB 3280, that would have established a moratorium on fracking in Illinois until June 1st, 2014. I got this from the Sierra Club. You know, Dear Michael, faucets on fire, contaminated drinking wells, increased seismic activity, deceptive leasing proposals have become part of the narrative about the process of hydraulic fracking, fracturing, or calling fracking. And this year, the first wells are set to be drilled in Illinois. And Illinois does not have protections in place to handle the new industrial process. And for anybody who says fracking is the future, oh, well, there's so many puns you can make with that. Boy, I don't get it. It just seems like the scariest thing to come down the pike in a long time. Maybe the pipe. But it's a different thing. So this bill was in there to put the brakes on it in Illinois. Let's have a moratorium for a couple of years and just figure out how dangerous this is. Well, that did not pass. So the drilling will start this year. And see, like I said, some stuff happens and some stuff doesn't. And I had a hard time finding out some of this, what had happened to these measures. I made some last-minute phone calls yesterday, and it was one of the things that I discovered was, you know, if you feel like you're uninformed because you don't see it in the newspaper, and you don't see these things, I get crazy too because I know people in the biz, and I can pick up the phone and say, hey, what happened? But I also know that everybody's got their own particular issue they're involved with. And sometimes they get really focused on that. And then if they do well, they might send out an email and says, hey, we won. If they don't, you know, sometimes they don't even send out an email. It just sort of disappears and you wonder what happened. Hard to keep track of everything because there's so many bills in the General Assembly and so much going on. So what I think I'm going to do, I was talking to Max Muller from Environment Illinois yesterday. He was one of the people I talked to. And I said, you know, I got to get some of these people on the show, you and maybe Jack Darren from Sierra Club and Jen Waller from the Environmental Council, and sit down and say, okay, what happened? Was it good? Was it bad? Was it indifferent? How did we do in the General Assembly this year? And I think to put it all in perspective would not be a bad thing. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. All Sips Nurseries greenhouses are bursting with table after table of colorful spring annuals, including their famous, world-famous geraniums in all the best colors. Now just 49 cents a plant, sold in packs of four. You'll also find the area's largest selection of vegetables and herbs at All Sip Nursery, including Burpee vegetable exclusives and locally grown, and that's a key word, locally, perfect choice plants. This week, vegetables and herbs are up to 50% off. Large 4-inch pot perfect choice vegetables are just $1.97, and their herbs are $2.97. While you're there, check out all the Mighty Mato tomatoes, like superheroes. Mighty Mato grafted tomatoes are stronger, faster, more able to fend off foes than regular tomato plants, and their harvests are bigger. True. And you'll find more great values plus coupons to help you get your vegetable garden started on their website, AllSipNursery.com, A-L-S-I-P. AllSip Nursery is located in Frankfort, Illinois on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. They're open today, Sunday, until 7 p.m. Why aren't you there right now?
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Now, for this next segment, let me hear your best pirate impression. Can Denny, can you
A little pirate.
Can you give me an R?
R.
Oh, come on.
Is that good?
A little better than that. R.
Talking to a guy on the phone. Hang on a second, buddy. You got to do a pirate.
Hold all right, all right. No, go back. To you. Sorry, go back to the phone. Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt. All right, throw pests overboard with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew from Bonide and do it organically. This brew from Bonide contains spinosad, which is derived from a naturally occurring soil bacterium. Spray Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew directly on the insect or your plant to guard against chewing and sucking insects like bagworms, moths, loopers, leaf miners, thrips, and more, including mites. I took out a bunch of mites with Captain Jack's a couple of weeks ago on a plant of mine, a tropical plant that I had outside. It had gotten a little mitey, and it's looking healthy now. It's safe to use on vegetable gardens, annuals, perennials, berries, shrubs, and fruit trees, but as I always tell you, please practice RAFLD, read and follow label directions. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Pasquazi Home and Garden in Barrington and Lake Bluff, Illinois, Wasco Nursery in St. Charles, Lurvy Landscape and Garden Center in Des Plaines, or go to bonide.com to find a retailer near you or to see a complete listing of all of the Bonide Garden Naturals.
Are you passionate about fitness, nutrition, personal growth, or living a sustainable lifestyle? Natural Awakenings magazine is your local guide to a healthier, greener, and more balanced life. Each monthly issue includes timely articles about nutrition, alternative and holistic medicine, fitness for your body and mind, healthy pets, recipes, an extensive events calendar, and more. Natural Awakenings is available across Chicago and in the north and northwest suburbs. Get your free copy at wellness and fitness centers, health food and grocery stores, coffee shops, libraries, and wherever free publications are found. Or visit us online at www.nachicagonorth.com. Advertisers, Natural Awakenings magazine is the perfect way to reach health-conscious and green readers looking for businesses just like yours. Call 847-858-3697 today to learn more about advertising opportunities. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings magazine. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
When's the last time you stepped into a real garden center, a place that's friendly in the neighborhood where quality service and information is an everyday promise? Welcome to Hawthorne Gardens, located at 24481 North Old McHenry Road in Hawthorne Woods, downtown Hawthorne Woods. This family-owned garden center has been providing unique products for your home and garden since 1980. They're a great source for water garden supplies. Hawthorne Gardens has more than 400 varieties of perennials, many unique and new annuals, more than 100 varieties of tomatoes. Go to hawthornegardens.net and look for Bill's special tomatoes. When I was up there, he gave me a couple of special tomatoes, and they're growing in the community garden, Green on McLean, on my block. And also, they're the area's premier wild bird supply store. And you should check out the Hawthorne Gardens YouTube page, where Bill, Mr. Bill, shows you how to do just about everything in the garden, from setting up raised beds to planting carrots to storing canna bulbs to winterizing a pond. Not only that, but just this year, they were named one of the 100 most revolutionary garden centers in the nation by today's Garden Center magazine. Hawthorne Gardens is just 3 miles north of historic Long Grove. Visit them at hawthornegardens.net or like them on Facebook. Hawthorne Gardens is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. We got a couple of callers here. Let's go first to Dave in Madison, Wisconsin. Dave, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you guys?
Okay. Hey, listen, big vote this Tuesday. What is your gut telling you up there?
Well, it's the biggest vote in the nation.
I think it is. You know, I think it's the biggest vote that we have had in, I'm trying to remember,
Well, you know, I can't. I'm 50 years old, and I don't remember a bigger vote in with regards to not only the removal or the potential removal of the most corrupt and the poorest performing governor in the nation, Scott Walker, here in Wisconsin, but it's so important because he's backed by the very groups, the very people that are causing many of the problems you're seeing down in Springfield as well, with the fracking and the Koch brothers and the whole sort of kit and caboodle of anti-environmental entities. That's who supports this guy. And if we can't stand up and say enough is enough, then, you know, I think there's some, so we should all be very concerned.
Yeah, now, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's you know, it's the money that gets spread around to both parties and causes, well, wreaks so much havoc, causes so much harm.
It does. It does. And, you know, with regards to the gut, I actually was at a fundraiser with Tom Barrett. He's the mayor of Milwaukee. He is the person going up against Scott Walker, and Mayor Barrett, excuse me, is just an outstanding individual with an enormous amount of integrity and a very good environmental voting record when he was in the U.S. House, as well as mayor of Milwaukee. And so, you know, the issue here is, are we going to get the vote out? I think we will. I have never seen community and communities across the southern part of the state, is where I've been over the last several months, be as energized with regards to this issue.
Well, I hope they come through, and I hope they get out. And I'm speaking here to all my friends in Wisconsin. Go vote. You know, express your opinion, express your will. I say it to both sides. This is what democracy is all about. I can't stop you from voting. I don't want to stop you from voting. I want everybody to vote. And I don't want people. Wow, we suddenly got a strange echo there. I don't want people to be stopped from voting. So get out and do it.
That's absolutely right. This weekend we had, earlier in the week, Tom Morello, Jackson Brown, at the Labor Temple here in Madison. More than 8,000 people showed up. The Tea Party had a rally. They had about 500 people. And so I think that's a good indication of where this is going. And, you know, I'll tell you, Mike, your show, and as you were talking here, and then playing a song from the best album Queen ever did, your show is serving a purpose that I think probably is greater than you might imagine. You're reaching a lot of people with information that's not only fun, but effective. And, you know, combining healthy foods, healthy environments, healthy wildlife populations, clean water, that's what you're doing. And I really appreciate it. And, you know, if we step back for 30 years and we look at the changes, yeah, we have a lot of problems, but people react quickly. And you really are part of that issue right now and part of that, I think, success.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. I know you listen regularly, and I appreciate that. And I'm wishing you and all progressives great success this Tuesday in Wisconsin.
Well, I'll be looking at beautiful gardens here in Monona, Wisconsin, as I go door to door today, knocking on doors to make sure that people are going to get out and vote on Tuesday, June 7th, recall Scott Walker.
You're a good man, Dave. Thanks for calling. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Rick DeMille weather, next.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist. Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs. Vegetable gardens, too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
You can have a beautiful lawn and be kind to the environment, too. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. A few simple changes in your lawn care practices, like using Milorganite Goof-Proof Organic Fertilizer, can result in a carpet of green safe for your kids and pets. Start by raising the mowing height of your lawn, if you haven't done so already. Taller grass is better able to compete with the weeds. Mow often, removing only one-third of the total height, and leave the clippings on the lawn. Consider using a push or electric mower. It's good for the waistline and the environment. Further improve your lawn's health and greatly reduce weed problems with proper fertilization. Milorganite's organic nitrogen is slow release and won't burn your lawn, even in hot, dry weather. Plus, you don't need to water it in. And the non-staining iron helps maintain the deep green color, even in the heat of summer. So join the professionals and home gardeners who've trusted Milorganite for over 80 years. Use Milorganite for better results naturally.
Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
I'm passing sleeping cities, fading by degrees.
Must be time to bring in our very own meteorologist, Rick DeMaio. Rick, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Mike. Great show so far. A lot of good, interesting, compelling information. It's always nice to be able to mix politics and the environment, and then balance it out with a little bit of weather information as well, right?
Well, yeah. In the second hour, I don't know if you heard earlier that I've got Jennifer and Dr. Wally and Dr. Earth, and we're going to talk a little bit about what the weather has wrought here in Illinois. And come on, if you told me on Memorial Day with 90 plus degree temperatures,
96,
and then we were going to get to below 50, I would have said, well, yeah, I could see that happening.
Yeah, talk about welcome to variable climate, right?
Yeah, but you know what? This is and I pointed out earlier that this is the what we tell people every year.
Right.
Don't get fooled.
More variable, without a doubt.
Yeah, and I think that's something, because as we went through May, I think folks got complacent and they said, this isn't going to happen anymore. We're done with the cold weather.
Right.
Now we didn't get a freeze, but still.
Oh yeah.
But we were.
That was pretty dramatic. Walking outside and going, it's not just cool. It's actually cold.
Yeah.
And the wind was blowing at 30 miles per hour. But you know, I forgot to mention this last week. I was at the farmer's market down by the Lincoln Park Zoo. This was last Saturday, not yesterday. And I made a point to, obviously buy produce from the local farmers, but also to talk to them about how their crops were doing. And I think I spoke to four different farmers who have either fruit trees or, grow crops that, generate produce early in the year. And all of them said that the rapid warm-up, Mike, and then the cool-down in late April there reduced their crop by almost 50 to 70%. And this one woman who produces a lot of, or at least farms a lot of, apple trees, said that she normally provides produce to 10 different local farmers markets, and she's now down to two. And that's a real shame, because these are the people that really rely on the farmers markets to push their product. So not only was there a sense of disappointment and discouragement in her eyes for what's going on now, but we all know that that's also going to have an impact when we get into late August and early spring or early September, obviously when the apples begin to come out. So that warm up and that freeze that we had, this was more so in southwest lower Michigan and southern Wisconsin, not so much here in Illinois, but they're really going to be hurting. So I guess the point I want to make here is those people who are thinking of going out to farmers markets, this month and obviously in early July, buy as much of what you can now, because these people are going to be hurting once we get into the back half of the growing season.
That's very interesting. Of course, it's different crops at different times, but yeah.
But what you buy now, actually, we will obviously help them with their deficit as they get into the back.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Good point. Because, yeah, they're at the end of the season, they're going to be hurting.
Right, right. I think the hurt's going to be probably two or three times more because the trees that are going to be flourishing aren't basically not there. And there were some of these growers were basically telling me that they lost about 70 to 80% of some of their crops.
Yes.
And, you know, they're obviously, you know, trying to rely on other things at this point. But, you know, we all know that sometimes as a farmer you have to do that. And fortunately we've had some pretty good weather from a standpoint of when we need the rain, we get the rain, and when we need some drying conditions, we get the drying conditions. But one thing I wanted to talk about, Mike, have you ever remembered a spring where when it turned sunny, it was basically a very dry sunshine? When was the last time you remember it being just really downright humid around here over the last 6 weeks? It hasn't been.
No, not at all. You're right. Yeah.
And we just finished up meteorological spring, which ended on May 31st. And people say, well, doesn't summer begin on June 21st? Yeah, it does. But from a meteorological and climate standpoint, we like to look at it from a standpoint of March, April, and May. This May ended up, or at least this spring, ended up being the sunniest since back in 1991. And that year we actually had a fairly warm summer as well, not extremely hot, but it was warm. We had about 25 or 30 days above 90, if I recall off the top of my head. But going through the numbers for this year for both Chicago and Rockford, the average high temperature for this meteorological spring, March, April, and May, was 8 degrees above average, which is phenomenal. And that means that would put us into a category which is more typical of southern Illinois, down around Cairo or down around Paducah, Kentucky, when you have temperatures that warm. And obviously most of that was due to the fact that we had just a phenomenally warm month of March. Strange thing about it was the month of April was actually 2 degrees cooler than the month of March, and then we finished up with the month of May, which was almost 7 degrees above average. So some of the numbers here that we're going to talk about, we ended up with 8.71 inches of rain, which is roughly about an inch below normal, about 0.85 inches below normal. People don't realize it, but we usually get a lot of snow here in Illinois in the month of March. We typically see between 6 and 7 inches, and we only had 0.3 inches, and that was one of the reasons why we were able to get so warm in the month of March. So snowfall obviously was way down. We had 9 days where the temperature was at or setting a record in the month of March, and then we had 2 days where we had record high temperatures in the month of May. 8 days where we had temperatures in the 80s in March. We had none in April. And then we had the earliest 97-degree day ever in Chicago, which occurred on the 27th of May. And then on that particular day, we actually hit 99 at Rockford, which to me is phenomenal. It hit 99 degrees in late May. So it turned out that the spring of 2012 is going to go down in the books as the warmest ever in the Chicagoland area, dating back to 1871, we broke the old record by 0.4 degrees, Mike.
Wow. How about us? Yay!
Yeah, the warmest ever. And, you know, oftentimes with that, you know, warmer weather, you either tend to get, you know, heavy amounts of rainfall, obviously, if you have high rates of humidity. But strangely enough, when we did clear out, we had very, very dry weather. And we were lucky that we got the inch and a half of rain that we had on Thursday. That was a very, very beneficial rain. That was the kind of rain that farmers love, percolates down into the soil, infiltrates down into the groundwater. It didn't flood. It didn't run off like crazy. That was a good rain, Mike, because the forecast basically for the next 5 days shows us to be generally below normal precipitation. I would think between now and maybe next Sunday, we're looking for about less than a quarter inch of rain. And generally seasonal temperatures. So the good news is that even though we're going to be dry, we're not going to be hot. So the evaporation rate should be somewhat low. But for those people who are interested, by the time we get to next week, you should have probably added about an inch and a half of water to your soil or your lawns or your container pots to offset the evaporation between now and next Sunday, Mike.
You know, that I'm so glad that rain you said was a great rain. It was a butt-saving rain is what it was.
Yes.
Because we were in perilous straits, I guess, but it doesn't help that we're going to go into another dry period.
Right, but the good thing about this dry period is that it's not going to be accompanied with very, very hot, windy, dry weather. So your evaporation rates won't be as much, but still between now and probably next Sunday, probably less than a quarter inch of rain around here. But temperatures generally seasonal in the upper 70s to maybe near 80 degrees, which is where we should be for this time of the year. So overall, the weather looks favorable for growing, but if you need to add some water to your soil, that's probably a good thing to do probably today and probably Wednesday, then on Saturday.
Yeah, and mulch if you have to. Keep that. keep the evaporation rate down.
Yeah, I had mulch with my coffee this morning. It was wonderful.
And you're going to go over to the Glenwood Market today. Is their first day, too?
I didn't know that, but I guess I am.
Sure. If you do, let me know. Because, Glenwood Market starts today. And a lot of farmers markets. I was driving over here in the Logan Square Market. It was getting set up for the first time this year. So it's farmers market season, kids. So
yeah, I think next week I'll hit the Glenwood Market. But the last couple of weeks when I was at the farmers markets, I always make it a point to talk to the local farmers. And really, people, I think this is our duty as people who support local farmers. Buy as much as you can now because they probably won't have much of the back half of the season, Mike.
That's good advice. Rick DeMaio, you can go to DeMaioWeather.com or go to my website, MikeNovak.net. Rick, I will talk to you next week.
Have a good week, Mike.
All right, you too. Did you finally attempt that transplant you've been hemming and hawing about? Well, we want it to survive, too, so consider picking up some liquid solution from Dr. Earth, who will be on the show in the next half hour, It will provide essential plant nutrients and stimulate root growth, flowering, and regrowth of stressed plants. This organic fertilizer, great for use on fruits and vegetables, trees, shrubs, vines, flowering ornamentals, container plants, hydroponics, and turf, is designed to enhance growth and correct micronutrient deficiencies. Liquid Solution is just one of the many organic products from Dr. Earth. Go to drearth.com to see more and find a dealer near you.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D, Plant Skid.
Coming up in the next hour, Dr. Earth, Jennifer Brennan, Dr. Wally from Pesci's will be talking about some of the crazy stuff they're seeing on plants this year. So stay tuned.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Alsip Nursery, offering the best of every season since 1969. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Down on the east side, wasted like a memory. If I had a car, I'd drive straight off the bridge into the river.
We are lining up our triumvirate here. The folks who know what's going on, I'm very happy that we're going to have three really knowledgeable horticulturists on in a second. I wanted to get a couple of things out, though, before we do that. Something that the Peterson Garden Project Learning Center is doing, or actually Peterson Garden Project, their EE capacity in collaboration with the Peterson Garden Project and the River North Commission wants you to participate in their Community Environmental Educational Roundtable. That's this Friday, June 8th, 2012, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Peterson Garden Project Learning Center. You know, LaManda Joy, she's on the program a lot, and one of the most energetic women next to Jennifer Brennan in horticulture. EE Capacity is working on a set of community EE guidelines that make statements about the process of educating communities around environmental issues that affect quality of life issues for participants. They encourage sound practices around community settings, especially in low-income settings where safety and wellness are connected to environmental issues and efforts. So if you want to be part of this, you can go to info@petersongarden.org or call 855-PGP.GROW, and then it's extension 5. Probably easier just to go to info@petersongarden.org. And that's this Friday, June 8th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Peterson Garden Project Learning Center, 4642 North Francisco in Chicago. It's at the Francisco Brown Line stop. I need to bring up that Rich's Fox Willow Pines. I was going to say the Hosta Happening. I don't think they call it the Hosta Happening anymore. But they've got a hosta sale and fundraiser next Saturday, June 9th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Rich's Fox Willow Pines. Great people, Rich and Susie Ayer. All proceeds benefit Heifer International and Mano a Mano International Partners. Now, you can get more information by writing to Coniflora, C-O-N-I-F-L-O-R-A, at richesfoxwillowpines.com. There's no apostrophe, R-I-C-H-S, foxwillowpines.com. Or call 815-338-7442, 815-338-7442, and it's 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., hosta sale and fundraiser. They always have fat, you know, they sell conifers, but then they do this hosta thing a couple of times a year, and they raise money for Heifer International. You got to love them for that. So thanks to Rich and Susie. I'm glad they're doing that. And I hope a bunch of you will go out to 11618 McConnell Road in Woodstock. That's where Rich's Fox Willow Pines Nursery is, or go to richesfoxwillowpines.com. And then finally, I got a note from Mary Beth Rebidoux, who's organizing the East Beverly Garden Walk. That's June 24th. That's in a couple of weeks. And it's 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Beverly Bank, 1908 West 103rd Street. For 25 years, the Beverly Hills and Morgan Park Garden Walk has celebrated the best gardens in Chicago. Come out and see more. Set in the historic community, among architecturally significant homes and tree-lined streets, the gardens truly exemplify Chicago's motto, Herbs in Orto, City in a Garden. That is something you might want to do. Again, Sunday, June 24th, 12 p.m. to 5 p.m., Beverly Bank, 1908 West 103rd. Or you can go to www.eastbeverly.com. And I got some more of these that I will get to later, but I think right now, let us go to, well, you know, I am going to start with the man, the legend, Dr. Earth himself, Milo Seamus. How are you, Milo?
Good morning, Mike. What a introduction. Thank you, sir.
Well, you know, you are making a name for yourself, and you're doing it in the right way. Which is creating a product. And of course, Dr. Earth is a fine sponsor of the Mike Novak Show. You have a product that I go to garden centers and people talk about it and say, oh yeah, we got Dr. Earth. I mean, we just opened up a garden center here in Oak Park called Green Home Experts. And it's a wonderful place at 811 South Street. And one of the first things they did is they went out and got a bunch of Dr. Earth products and put it in there.
Good for them. That's very smart. You know, here's what I'm learning is that a lot of the people that gravitate to Dr. Earth, they don't tend to be just gardeners or just organic fertilizer users or soil users, et cetera. It almost becomes a lifestyle for them. I mean, they become so committed to the Dr. Earth brand, the lifestyle, that it's a must-have item. And I've got such, you know, I'm really very, very blessed. I have a huge, loyal, incredibly loyal following throughout the U.S. And it's just fun, Mike. Like, you have a great time doing your job. I really have a great time doing mine. I love to invent products. I love to market products. I like to educate people. And I'm really blessed. And I think it shows because, you know, we've got incredibly loyal customers, people that have, I've been told drive over state borders, you know, 8-9 hours just to get Dr. Earth. So I don't think many people do that if they're just looking for a nutrient or something. There's got to be something more in it, something there's a greater value behind what the brand stands for as opposed to just a product itself. You know, there's the equity of the brand, the brand values mean much more than what's inside the brand, much more than just nutrients or soils or things of that nature.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what it is that you put in there. I know there's proprietary stuff, but there are some things you can tell people why the Dr. Earth product works so well and why it's so different from other organic products.
Well, it's incredibly different. One of the things that I did is, you and I have talked about this, and you said I'm a sponsor of your show. If I am, you need to send me a bill because I haven't paid you in a few years. So it's just,
no, you have, buddy. And guess what? There's a bill in the mail right now. I can guarantee that.
Okay, good. Then I'm a sponsor for the show. That's good to know because I did not know that. I thought you just love me and you wanted to have me on the air.
Hey, what? Do you write the checks yourself? Don't you have people for that?
No, Mike, I touch everything like you do. I've got to be involved in everything.
Oh, no, you don't want that. See, in my world, it's called being obsessive, all right? And, you know, you're the big business guy. You need to back off.
But I know that
when you started this business, it was, and you were learning about what works, it was fish products that had a lot to do with the basis of what you're doing and mycorrhizae and something that you decided to call probiotics. How did that all come together?
I think more important than the fish products is what you look at, looking at the biological component. And everything I do, I cater towards human health. So in essence, I look at what the human body uses, what the human body needs, how the human body functions, first and foremost. And then I think to myself, okay, there's a lot of parallels in the soil because the soil is really nothing more than a living organism if it's healthy soil. And I come up with things like prebiotic. That's the new invention that I've come up with. We've just got a patent issued on that. And I've got a new product line coming out, new liquid line, with prebiotics. And you may ask yourself, well, Milo, we're just beginning to learn about your probiotics. What are prebiotics? Prebiotics are soluble sugars that feed the probiotics. See, in essence, unless the probiotics had something to eat, they had an energy boost, they could never multiply and do their work in the soil as efficiently as they possibly could, which means breaking down organic material, applied through the fertilizers and those already existing in the soil, and break them down, make sure they're available for the living plant roots. And that's really the way I always look at it, you know, in terms of the biological component of the soil. Because anybody can really take a handful of green sand, a handful of alfalfa meal, a handful of fish meal, put them together and say, hey, here's an organic fertilizer. And, quite frankly, Mike, a lot of companies do. And then they sell a lot of product. But the fact of the matter is, to have a really good product, you have to have the right ratios of proteins, fats, lipids, tannins, and that translate to NPK values. And you have to know what the right microbes are to include in that, just the right amount, because if you put too little microbes, the product doesn't work fast enough. And if you put too many microbes, you begin to mimic a chemical synthetic product, because then it now works too quickly. And it works too quickly, then you've really lost all the advantages of having organic fertilizer in the soil. You don't get those soil building capabilities. You get it's almost like using pure chicken manure. I mean, yes, it's an organic material, but if you put too many microbes with it, it's just going to burn up on the lawn. It's going to burn up in the garden within 2 to 3 days. There's no real long-term benefit. So it's understanding how much to put in there. What's the right number? And that's what took a lot of time and trial and error and efficacy trials and all those sorts of good things that are required to put a good product together.
That's Milo Seamus, also known as Dr. Earth. I want to go to line five and bring in one of your supporters and somebody who advocates using Dr. Earth products, and that's another doctor, Dr. Wally from Pesci's. How you?
Oh, no, you got Dr. Wally?
Are you there, Dr. Wally?
Yes, Mike. Good morning. And Milo, greetings, and how are you?
Peter.
Always enjoy talking to you, brother. And
Greetings to you, Dr. Wally. Wow, what a nice surprise, Mike. You know how I feel about Dr. Wally. He's probably one of the broadest guys in the country. He's just got a heart of gold and knows exactly what he's doing when it comes to the garden. Good morning, Wally.
Good morning, and thank you for the compliment. Our Dr. Earth products here, Mike, and Milo, have really, really caused a huge increase in our customer base. I have customers that bring their neighbors in to purchase it, or they purchase it for their friends and family. My successes when I documented using the products have really expanded our customer base. And this year, we have an enormous upswing of customers from faraway areas that come just because of our reputation. Try to do things with a green approach here. I do admit to selling chemicals, but what I'm very, very proud of is that we have an organic slash natural alternatives, and with a little proper instruction and a little education on integrated pest management, we can really make them work for people, creating a very, very healthy and safe environment.
Milo, you're going to be billed for that too, okay? Just to let you know.
Yeah, I just did not know this was happening. You sure you already have the bill in the mail?
I got to send
a couple of zeros to it.
I got to send another one. Yeah, I am going to end. Wally, talk to me a little bit about organics and, you know, how. You know, I think what Milo was saying is that the secret is slow and steady, versus, you know, really pumping things full of nutrients in a way they can't handle. Is that right?
That's very correct. When you're dealing with chemical or slash conventional fertilizers, you get this big upswing of probably too much nitrogen, excessive plant growth, and really poor production and poor flavor in the vegetables or produce or fruit that you're harvesting. With Milo's products, with the Dr. Earth products, you have strong cell structures in the plant itself, which translate into a stronger, healthier cell structure in the vegetables or produce, which means more vitamins and more minerals and just better tasting fruits of your effort. I find that we have an excessive amount of problems with something called blossom end rot, which is when the bottom of the tomato gets kind of brown and degrades. It's very unsightly looking. Probably most people won't harvest them like that. They'll probably just throw them out. Your ammoniacal nitrogen in a lot of your liquid fertilizers that are conventional, your blue water-soluble fertilizers, contain that ammoniacal nitrogen, which actually kind of blocks calcium ion uptake. And a calcium deficiency can denote problems with blossom end rot in both in tomatoes, peppers, and zucchinis, etc. So with Milo's products, with the Dr. Earth products, you have a natural form of almost 8% calcium, I believe, in the vegetable fertilizers, which negate that. And along with the combinations of his excellent potting soils for container gardenings, you find that people really, really are super successful. As yourself, Mike, with your earth boxes using the Dr. Earth products, I mean, it's a win-win situation. And if you're cramped for gardening with containers, it really works well.
Well, let's bring in one more person here who's a fan, and that is Jennifer Brennan, who's from Chalet.
Hi,
Jennifer.
Hello.
And of course, she is my co-host on Dig In Chicago. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, and good morning, Milo and Wally. It's nice to be included with you two guys.
Oh, thank you.
It's a love fest here, okay, folks?
It is.
You know, Jennifer, Mike, can I just add one thing to what Wally was saying?
Yeah.
Because I think he was touching upon some really critical and very important points that, you know, need to be hit. My wife and I were having a chat last night, and it was, you know, there was a time when I first launched the company 20 years ago. I used to have to go out there to prove to all gardeners, prove to garden center owners and everybody else that organics are better than conventional. And that was the argument. That was the crux of the positioning that I took. But now it's no longer organic versus conventional because consumers are smart. They know organic's better. Now it's simply saying it's Dr. Earth, not because it's organic. It's Dr. Earth because it's better. And that's where I've taken it to. It's not a matter of organic versus chemical anymore. You want to, but I told her, I said, if there's a chemical product better than Dr. Earth, then by all means use it. You should be using the best thing for the garden. The reality is there's nothing better that exists out there besides the besides organic fertilizers and soils. They simply just work better. And at the end of the day, that's what we want gardeners to have, the best results.
Absolutely. Well, I brought in Jennifer and Wally to talk about some of the things going on here. And Milo, here's what I'm going to say to you. You're welcome to stick around for a little bit and help answer some of these questions. And I welcome them at 773-773-763-9278. It's been pretty crazy here. And Jennifer, you would certainly confirm that, wouldn't you?
Yes. I mean, the Diagnostic Center has been, we've been working overtime in the Diagnostic Center just because of this incredible weather pattern that we've had. And I mean, the only other time that we've had a March warmer than April was 140 years ago. And so we'll probably I'll never see this happen again in my lifetime. But it's been fascinating. And I made some notes, and, you know, rust was number one, you know, rust on roses. Then aphids popped up 2 weeks ago, and I was checking the growing degree day numbers, and it all is matching. And now the mites are popping up, and now we're seeing cottony maple scale. And then you know, to tie in one more R, the rabbits are going wild on all the gardens because all the babies are out. So those would be the top five aggravations of the gardeners this season, you know, that are out there.
Wally,
can I share something with you? Really quickly, please.
Yeah.
I was just in Reno not very long ago, and I gave a seminar up there to a bunch of gardeners, good people, gardening clubs, and, you know, we kind of had a symposium with everybody. What I was learning is in Reno, they all use the Dr. Earth lawn food as a rabbit repellent for some reason, and I can't claim that. And they've been claiming this for years and years and years, and they say, Milo, why don't you put it to rabbit repellent? I tell them, guys, it's a lawn food. I can't put rabbit repellent on it. You realize the amount of work it would take to do that? And anyways, the point is, our lawn food is a natural rabbit repellent. And we suspect it's the fish bone and the fish particles in there. They want to have absolutely nothing to do with it.
Well, you know, and that would fit because that's the same reason that plant skeed works so beautifully, because it's dead animals and animal blood, and other animals don't like sensing that they're dead animals anywhere. They'll avoid it because they think it's a dangerous place for them as well. So that makes a lot of sense.
All right. Well, we're going to talk more about this, and Wally, you hang on there because I want you to talk about what you're seeing. And and I know, Jennifer, you've been advocating some drastic solutions to some of our problems, especially with roses, and I want to talk about that a little bit.
Sure.
773-763-9278 if anybody wants to call in. So the three of you hang on for a second. Like it or not, summer is knocking on the door. While most of us like summer, sometimes our gardens don't, especially if their owners like summer fun too much, if you catch my perennial drift, which is why you need the May-June issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. It will remind you that June is really closer to the beginning of gardening than to the end, at least for the season, really. And you'll be inspired by a couple of gardens, one in the city and one in the suburbs. The city garden is in Hyde Park. It is on a 28 by 160-foot lot, including garage, children, and play lot. And yet the landscape architect won an award for residential design. Sometimes your limitations are your strengths. And then there's the suburban garden in Barrington Hills on 15 acres of oak savanna, featuring a flagstone walled terrace, a cottage perennial garden, a boxwood defined English rose garden, and a 2-acre woodland walk. You know, simple pleasures. Then there's my column on the inside back page. My limitations are my my limitations. Get a subscription to Chicagoland Gardening Magazine today. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600. 888-265-3600.
Looking for a housing investment that can pay big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Get at the helm and start steering your plants toward better health with Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew from Bonide, an organic way to protect plants from critters like beetles, gypsy moths, leaf miners, and spider mites. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew, which contains a naturally occurring soil bacterium used worldwide by organic farmers, is safe to use on vegetable gardens, annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, and berries. Use that fruit to make some delectable pirate glog. Arr. Just apply Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew directly on the insect or your affected plant. You can use a trigger spray, handheld, backpack, or hose end sprayer, but always, always, I say this all the time, read and follow label directions. And know why you're applying Captain Jack's before you use it to protect your plant treasures. Look closely and identify the culprits. You can get Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at Knooper Nursery in Palatine, Illinois, Prozac Garden Center in Winfield, Illinois, Tholins Garden Center in Bourbonnais and Kankakee, Illinois, or visit Bonide.com to locate a retailer near you. While you're there, download the free Bonide Problem Solver app for your iPhone or your Droid.
Make this your best gardening season yet. Hi, I'm Melinda Myers, horticulturist and gardening expert. Invest a bit of time now to ensure a bountiful harvest and beautiful landscape throughout the season. And include Milorganite, eco-friendly, all-purpose fertilizer as part of your formula for success. Use Milorganite organic nitrogen fertilizer in all your planting beds. The low nitrogen, slow release formula makes Milorganite goof-proof and good for the environment. So choose Milorganite for better results naturally. Visit Milorganite.com to find a store near you.
And then the announcer says, Allsip Nursery's greenhouses are bursting with table after table of colorful spring annuals, including their famous geraniums in all the best colors. Now just 49 cents a plant, sold in packs of four. You'll also find the area's largest selection of vegetables and herbs at Allsip Nursery, including Burpee vegetable exclusives and locally grown perfect choice plants. This week, vegetables and herbs are up to 50% off. Large 4-inch pot perfect choice vegetables are just $1.97 and their herbs are $2.97. While you're there, check out all the new Mighty Mayo tomatoes like superheroes. Mighty Mayo, as I was saying, like superheroes, Mighty Mayo grafted tomatoes are stronger, faster, more able to fend off foes than regular tomato plants, and their harvests are bigger. You'll find more great values plus coupons to help you get your vegetable garden started on their website, AllsipNursery.com. Allsip Nursery is located in Frankfort, Illinois on Route 45, just 2 miles south of I-80, and in St. John, Indiana on Route 41, 4 miles south of Route 30. They're open today, Sunday, until 7 p.m. Why aren't you there right now? I happen to know for a fact that Jennifer Brennan listens to my show just for the music. Is that right, Jennifer?
Yeah, you know, Mike, I was just thinking today, you ought to sell, you know, one of those CDs. You know how there was another famous FM station that would sell their annual collection of music every year? You should do that, the Mike Novak Show collection of music. I'd buy it. I know tons of people would buy it.
Nobody wants to listen to my collection of music.
Yes, you should.
Oh, well, okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I think we lost Milo. Yeah, did we? You want to see if you can get him back? Meanwhile,
sure.
we'll talk with you guys. Wally, what have you been seeing this year on plants?
I tell you, it's a plethora of problems between fungal problems and insects. as far as insects going and mites, started spider mites in March, and it's been progressively worse. I don't know how many evergreens that I've seen just totally infested with mites.
Same with me.
I'm telling you, they're burning these poor plants out. Very difficult to control. They're moving to transition to other parts of the yard. It just goes on and on. The other thing now is the problems with rose insects. The rose slug, which is a little looper, little inchworm caterpillar, black aphids, and spider mites. I had knockout rose with all three of them on there, and that was a couple of weeks ago. Now we're getting into the four-lined plant bug, which is a strange little pattern of little burns on the leaves, almost like a fungal disease. Really hard to detect, and it's really hard to capture or find those little guys because they move so fast. And finally, I think an enormous problem that we've seen is thrips. When a thrip attacks a rose, what it'll do is it'll go up into the butt of the rose and distort the poor thing. So then when it does finally open up, the outside edges of the rose are all burnt and brown and disfigured. And those little guys are another one. They're like a little small diamond-shaped critter that moves really fast. And without a microscope, they're really, really hard to detect. It's almost incredible. We're trying to influence all our customers that bring us plant samples in for our digital analysis to make sure they're in sealed bags, because people are walking with an evergreen branch and there's bugs dropping all over the store out of it, or et cetera, et cetera. Now, as far as fungal diseases, lawn fungus problems too. You're popping up now with fairy ring on the lawns. You're popping up with lots and lots of powder mildew, black slimy mold.
As far as
other fungal problems, I've really seen lots and lots of downy mildew on nine barks and on currants.
Okay, Wally, I'm going to tell you something. Those of my listeners who have not yet gone into fetal position are about to, all right?
Well, it's kind of creepy, but we have to teach people how to control these so their landscapes aren't good.
Well, except that it's been different this year. I mean, you get these problems, but they were exacerbated by the weather this year.
The mild winters, I think, has a lot to do with it.
I agree.
I think it's a combination. It's all this. We had a mild winter. We had an unusually warm March. Then we had the cool April. Now we're having the dry period. All right, let's go. I want to go back to Jennifer for a second. You've been telling people to cut your roses back. Tell me what advice you're giving them.
Well, the ones that had the worst rust on them.
And explain what rust is to people.
Okay, rust. Okay. Oh, I did my research. Oh, you'll be so proud of me. Okay, rust actually is a fungus that it's more prominent in areas where there are mild winters. So guess what we had? A mild winter. And then it inoculates when the temperatures are between 64 degrees and 70 degrees. And that's what happened in April, right after the 80-degree spell in March. And then also when it's wet. And we weren't excessively wet, but we had, good rainfall in April. So it was just the perfect setup for the rust. And the weirdest thing is the knockout roses have been sold and marketed, and we love them for many, many years because they are so disease resistant. And I think, and I've got a question out there to the hybridizer, and I still don't have an answer yet as to what, why he thinks that the rust just hit him so hard this year. And I think it was just perfect conditions. But because there was so much, and then the spore was so prominent, we were advising people to cut them back, cut those roses back. And unfortunately, it was right at the time when they're in full bloom. Now it's dried up and it's warmer, so the spores aren't actually viable anymore. So I think if people fertilize deadhead and spray with a fungicide, whether it's an earth-friendly natural or a systemic, I think they're going to have it under control. I don't think they have to do such an extreme prune back as they would have had to like even 2 weeks ago. But what's happening is all that affected foliage is drying up and dropping off. So you have very leggy-looking plants, and so that's not desirable either.
So maybe it would be a good idea to prune it back a little bit. I mean,
exactly, and it's so early in the season that, you know, you'll have good-looking roses. You know, cut them back to 12 to 18 inches from the ground and strip off all the bad foliage, fertilize them. And my favorite is, you know, is the Dr. Earth rose and flower food. Man, that stuff is phenomenal. And, you know, fertilize with that. You know, keep them well watered because we really are dry, dry, dry. We had a great inch of rain on Thursday, and it was, you know, it soaked in slowly, but we're excessively dry. So make sure you keep them watered. And by the end of June, beginning of April, you'll have a good-looking plant again.
So you're saying, Jennifer, that these early problems we had looks like they're going to self-correct at this point, assuming we don't have more bizarre weather.
As long as we're going to have a lot more rain.
Yeah.
I'm not putting that in the universe because I want more rain. But as long as we're going to have excessive, the temperatures were way above viability stage for rust now. So, you know, so that's the cool thing about all these diseases and insects.
What is the temperature for viability for rust?
64 to 70.
So once we get above that, well, we had 50s and 40s the other day. So,
but it's a consistent thing, you know, and you have to have that consistency for the spore to release and the spore to stay alive and the spore to, you know, inoculate and go into the leaves.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I think, you know, we're really past the major rust age, and I'd be interested to hear what Wally thinks too.
Well, I think you're 100% correct in your recommendations. I find that they're dropping leaves. We are also besieged with black spot, which is going to be a continuing problem. One thing I do stress to our consumers here and our customers is that you got to realize that plant is stressed. Like Jennifer says, it needs to be fed. I recommend the Dr. Earth fertilizers above all, but I also do recommend using the Dr. Earth liquid solutions as a soil drench around the plant to get the activity really kicking in as a fertilizer.
Oh, that's cool, Wally. So you're talking about making a tea with the fertilizer?
With just a good soil drench. Get some dechlorinated water in your watering can, and maybe if you want to mix up a 5-gallon bucket, that's fine. And just drench the soil around it to energize the plant rather quickly, you know.
But you're saying that the Dr. Earth has a new liquid formula,
no,
right?
The liquid solutions has been around for quite a few
years. Oh, okay.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay, yeah. Oh, good, good, good. Oh, that's a great suggestion.
That's a good kick.
That's a great suggestion.
And the other thing that, not so much with the rust issue, is with black spot, is how clean the techniques you do when you prune. One little trick, and I've said this a million times, is I make a little holster out of a baggie, and I hook a little paper clip through it and hook it right on my belt. I soak up a sponge with rubbing alcohol, and I place it right over where my pruners are.
That's cool.
Every time I go to prune, I bump into the baggie. It's kind of a little of a pain, but it's a reminder how clean your pruners before you go from rose to rose.
That's great. Another neat idea, Wally, is, you know, those wipes, those chlorinated, those Clark's wipes, and you just have one of those, and you just wipe the blade in between every cut. You just wipe the blade off.
I just want to get in here, and you said between every cut, right? Every time?
From one fundamental rose to the other, or between each cut. And the other thing, which is most important, is, geez, don't take those black spotted leaves off and dump them all the way around a rose. You're going to leave pathogens all around it.
Right.
Defoliate it. If you have to put a sheet or a plastic sheet around it, take the leaves that drop and then get them in the garbage can or use a blow vac. Throw them right in the garbage can, get them out of the garden.
And don't compost them. Don't compost them.
Do not do that, please.
Yeah.
And if you really have a bad problem with a certain rose where that black spot's on and on, you may even consider changing the mulch around the rose, removing it, and putting fresh mulch out. And what I also tell customers, it's a good idea if you're going to change your mulch to use the bionite micronized sulfur as a soil dust.
Cool. I was just going to ask you if you ever recommend sulfur, because I learned that from a rosarian. You just sprinkle the sulfur over it, and it's an abiotic, and it stops the growth of the fungus, and really, you know, and it's just you can't say it's organic, but it's earth-friendly natural.
Yes, it's an element.
Yeah.
All right, give us the name of that bionite product again.
micronized sulfur powder, sulfur dust.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so if you go into a garden center and you ask them about that, they should know, a good garden center. All
and
right.
Also, one other point, there's if you don't want to spray a chemical fungicide on there, which there are some good ones.
There's some great ones.
Bonide, but Bonide also makes a pretty effective liquid copper soap solution, which
it's
comes
phenomenal. It's
and that's
phenomenal.
A good organic alternate to using a chemical. Also, there's a product called Green Cure, which is potassium bicarbonate with a spreader sticker. It was originated by Cornell University, and that's really one of the first products I've ever used that can destroy the cell structures of powder mildew. It breaks the hyphae down. It's a good one. It's organic. It's certified by the Rose Association, Chicagoland Rose Society. It also is certified for organic gardening. I've used it to clean off powder mildew off cucumber leaves, off squash leaves, pumpkin leaves. I've used it to clean it off powder mildew on lawns and lilac bushes. It's very effective.
And if you use something like that, what are the temperature considerations?
You always got to remember, I tell customers don't do anything over 80. And
you have it down to 80. That's cool. I say 85. Don't spray anything except for water on a plant.
I kind of feel that this.
Cool. I'm going to switch mine to 82.
Because
80 also.
What happens is, okay, everybody says, well, I'll spray at night. Well, that's fine and dandy, but what if you have an oil-based product and then it jumps up to 90 the next day and the base product is all over your plant? Then you get phototoxicity and cell damage. You gotta watch the next day's temperatures. You got to look out for rain. You know, a nice cooler day early in the morning, overcast day is a great day to spot. My rule of thumb is no fertilizers, no pesticides, no herbicides, none of that when it's hot out. You can really burn a plant even with the chemical liquid that everybody likes that's mixed with blue powder mixed in the...
How politically correct you are, Wally.
No, I don't want to mention
names. I'm so impressed, but I could say the same thing.
If you want to see something happen, just fertilize with that all over a New Guinean patient when it's nice.
Wow. Okay. Hey, listen, you guys. That's Dr. Wally from Pesci's and Jennifer Brennan from Chalet and Dig in Chicago. Chris has a question. We're going to get to him in just a second. You guys hang in there, and we'll be right back with more garden stuff. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. Are you familiar with your town's tree ordinances? Street tree ordinances primarily cover the planting and removal of trees within public rights of way. They often contain provisions governing maintenance or removal of private trees, which pose a hazard to the traveling public. Tree protection ordinances are primarily directed at providing protection for native trees or trees with historical significance. They usually require that a permit be obtained before protected trees can be removed, encroached upon, or in some cases pruned. View ordinances are designed to help resolve conflicts between property owners that result when trees block views or sunlight. More and more communities are beginning to recognize the very tangible benefits that trees provide in the urban environment. Tree ordinances are among the tools used by communities striving to attain a healthy, vigorous, and well-managed community forest. Another group that helps that is the Care of Trees. Invite the Care of Trees to take a look at your trees. See thecareoftrees.com or call 847-394-4220. 847-394-4220. The Care of Trees. Their business is people and their love for trees.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skid Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skid is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skid will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skid is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skid is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed or your money back.
Plant Skid. That's spelled plant, S-K-Y-D-D. Plant Skid.
Here's a question for you. Will planting a vanilla strawberry hydrangea improve your chances of winning the lottery? Answer? Probably not, but it will definitely add beauty to your life. That's the philosophy of Platt Hill Nursery in Bloomingdale and Carpentersville. And they have some of the hottest new plants available, including vanilla strawberry hydrangea, boomerang lilac, which blooms more than once a season, fall fiesta maples that, just like they sound, will light up your yard with fall color, and more. The Platt Hill Nurseries are like your hometown bakery. They just grow plants instead of baking bread, and they have the same old-time devotion to quality and service that you experience with a locally owned specialty retailer. Platt Hill strives to give each plant just right cultural care, properly pruned, faithfully fertilized, hand-watered by experts, and cultured to eliminate diseases and insects. Platt Hill Nursery is located on Randall Road, just 3 miles north of I-90, and on Lake Street, US 20, just 3 miles west of I-355. Go to PlattHillNursery.com or like them on Facebook. Platt Hill is a proud sponsor of Dig In Chicago.
Hey, Mike Novak here to tell you about a great business, Green Home Experts in Oak Park. They have a wonderful new eco garden center to help get you growing this spring. Green Home Experts offers a variety of annuals, perennials, edibles, and all the garden accessories you'll need. Their educated staff is on hand to share techniques that will bring you joy in gardening while you reduce your environmental footprint. They also offer a full line of household products and building materials that allow you to modify and maintain a more sustainable home. Green Home Experts offers many ecologically sound products for your home, inside and out. Be sure to mention me, Mike Novak, when you shop at Green Home Experts and immediately receive $20 off your Eco Garden Center purchase of $150 or more. Don't wait. Stop in at Green Home Experts, 811 South Boulevard in Oak Park. And to find out more about upcoming events and special deals, be sure to like Green Home Experts on Facebook.
How can you be bored when you have Dr. Wally and Jennifer Brennan?
This is so fun doing this together, Wally. We should do this more frequently, huh?
Certainly, I'd love to.
I know.
I got to get you guys into the studio here. The problem is you guys work at your respective garden centers on Sunday, and Jennifer, of course.
Yeah, they don't take the handcuffs off me. They handcuff me to the microscope table.
I know, and this year, that's one of the things you've been doing. I mean, you're just at the microscope table, and Wally, you're the same way. You've got all this stuff, and people bringing in samples, and that was really good advice, by the way, Wally. Please bag your stuff. And the other thing was, I got this.
Hey, Wally. I got a four-line plant bug in a plastic bag down on my desk.
Well, use a little organic technique and squash them.
No. It's really fun to show people because I got a sample in yesterday afternoon, and I was trying to explain what. And, you know, and four-line plant bug sounds so, like, generic. And the guy looked at me like I was crazy. And so, you know, and I mean, it was a perfect sample. And you know, I pulled it out, and I said, oh, here it is. And, you know, and I thought the guy was going to pass out. He's like, oh, my God, she's not lying to me.
Wait. What is that bug you were talking about?
It's called a four-lined plant bug, and it's just wreaking havoc on cucumber plants already.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to get to Chris, but when we get back, that's the other thing. Solutions for some of these.
Oh, solutions. Cool.
For, like, cucumber beetles and some of the other things that are already starting to happen. I know that we've got some. Wally's got a great tip for squash vine borer. And we will do that. But first, we're going to the phones and bring in Chris and Palatine. Hi, Chris. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Hi, Mike and guests. Mike, you should tape this show and then rebroadcast it on Halloween. I can't think of a greater, a horror show.
You're right.
You know, scary. You know, this is much scarier than any witch tales of witches or things.
I know. You know, when Wally was ticking off all those things that are going wrong this year, I wanted to dive under the counter here.
But you guys, it's all part of the natural process. You know, I mean,
it happens every year, though, but this is a real bad year.
It's just been really compressed this year, and it came on so hard and so strong because of March being so warm, and it just revved up all the growing degree days, and so everything's just happening fast, you know, and yeah.
Well, my question is, I live in an apartment, and on the second floor I have, you know, containers, mainly hanging baskets, but a couple of, you know, regular containers, you know, filled with plants. I picked up an 18-inch pot at the Botanic Gardens that has about 1 million plants in it. And my question is fertilization. How often should I fertilize these to keep them blooming and growing and looking great like they do right now?
Molly, do you want to take it?
Well, I would think your maintenance of your plants and containers and stuff should be every 10 to 14 days. That's going to depend on what type of fertilizer you use.
I agree.
If you're using like the Dr. Earth Bud and Bloom, you can apply that, and it's just about every 3 weeks to 4 weeks if you put that in. Your liquid solutions could be every couple of weeks.
You know, you guys are welcome to mention other products here, too, you know.
Yeah,
Milo's gone.
I'll tell you, I'm using Miracle-Gro.
Okay.
Then you have to do that every week.
Yes, once a week. And if you want a time-release fertilizer that's a conventional, Osmocote is very nice. I recommend the one with the pink lid on it that's got a little bit higher nitrogen, less phosphorus. Some of your plant materials, like, take for instance, osteospermiums or some of your proven winners, don't like a lot of phosphorus. So a little bit lower on the phosphorus. So, you know, you got to kind of read into what type of plants you have. And I also recommend a product called Soil Moist.
I love Soil Moist.
Water grabber. It's like a little jellyfish that swells up and it holds the moisture in. And when you're in a couple decks up, Chris, you know, you'll find the pots tend to dry out a little bit on hot, windy days. So a little addition of Soil Moist into the soil when you first make the container, or you can apply it later.
Do you use Fertisorb? The Fertisorb has a 12-12-12 fertilizer embedded in the acrylic polymer,
just like
the Soil Moist. And Chris, what you'll do, since your plants are already planted up, your pots are planted up, take a pencil and stick a pencil in four or five places, you know, in through the soil, and then sprinkle those little granules into it. Don't fill it to the top, because when you water it, they'll expand and kind of come out like a volcano. But that'll get it down into the root zone, and it'll take care of it, and it fertilizes and then gives you that insurance of having that acrylic polymer that holds extra water around the roots.
Oh, great. Now, can you overwater a container? It looks like, you know, when I water it up, then the water will just pour out the bottom. So.
Actually, Chris, you want to have that. When you're working with Miracle-Gro, remember, you're working with something that has a high salt index, and the idea is to water thoroughly so that the water bypasses and mixes the fertilizer and energizes the fertilizer into the water, but it flushes the salts out. If you look at a flower pot at the end of the season and you notice that white crusty stuff on the outside of a terracotta pot, that's your soluble salts. Oh. So when you water, you want to water thoroughly. You also want to use a premium potting mix. You want to have something that has macro pores and micro pores that is going to hold enough water and air, which is very important, and hold it to the root ball, and then release it so it can drain and flush. So, you know, when you're working, if you're building your own containers, Chris, it's a real good idea to buy the very best potting soil you can have and stick with that. And also the Soil Moist, if you can get it, I think I'm out of one particular type of it. There is Soil Moist that has mycorrhizae ingrained in it. Mycorrhizae is Greek for root fungus, and it will make your roots expand.
And if we wanted to wean Chris off of Miracle-Gro, what would you suggest?
Bud and Bloom and Liquid Solutions.
Exactly.
Liquids, and they're from?
They're from Dr. Earth.
Of course.
And the Bud and Bloom, Chris, it's a granular, and you'll sprinkle that over the soil. You know, when the plants are really planted tightly, you just kind of, work it in between the plants and just sprinkle it on top of the soil, and then do the liquid solution, and that helps, you know, mix it in and break it down and get the nutrients down at the root level where the into the soil solution where the roots just suck it up like a straw.
Well, Chris, you've gotten a lot of information question
very
here.
Helpful. Thank you.
And I appreciate you calling, as always. Have a great Sunday.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm going to get back to you guys in just a second. Let me wrap up here, and then we'll get back to that bug question on The Mike Novak Show.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure. You're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
I've been telling you that something crazy is happening at 2200 West Grand Avenue in Chicago. It's an explosion of color at Christie Weber Landscapes Farm and Garden Center, but it's not just the plants. It's the containers, too. New pottery is in, and older pottery is on sale. Choose from dozens of colorful indoor containers at 30% off. But back to the plants. Even more fresh new annuals and perennials have arrived, and you're not going to believe how gorgeous they look. Now, interested in having your annual containers planted by professionals? At Christie Weber Farm and Garden Center, they make fun and fabulous container arrangements. They can put your plants in anything and make it look great. And have you tried to stump the landscaper? No, not me. That's easy. But if you're the first person to post a photo of a plant from your garden on the Christie Weber Farm and Garden Center Facebook page and they can't identify it, you will win a $50 gift certificate. Or just stop by at 2200 West Grand Avenue in the Ukrainian Village. Look for the explosion of color.
Tired of spending a lot of time watering your plants to keep them looking their best? Have you heard about Soil Moist? Help your plants survive the stressful heat of the summer with Soil Moist. Mixing Soil Moist's water-absorbing crystals in the soil as you plant can reduce watering frequency by 50%, and that's good for the planet. Soil Moist granules hold over 200 times their weight in water and release it back to the plant as it needs it. Soil Moist is ideal for patio planters and hanging baskets that dry out quickly. Safe and garden-friendly, Soil Moist can be used indoors and out for all of your planting needs. Vegetable gardens, too. The secret of professional growers, Soil Moist. Soil Moist is available in granules, self-watering mats, and plant packs, and is available at leading garden centers. Soil Moist is now available with mycorrhizae. It increases plant growth and establishment with fewer plant waterings.
Who is that guy? It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Back to Jennifer Brennan and Wally Schmidtke. We got 4 minutes left here, so when you have answers, kids, make them short, okay?
Okay.
I want to try to cram in as much as we can before the end of the program. And one of the things you talked about, we've already got cucumber beetles, Wally. What are you telling people to do about those?
Well, I'm advocating a dust. Bonide makes a real nice organic dust with a dry pyrethrin and a little sulfur base on it. It's an alternative. Floating row covers would be a great thing to do, where you actually have a Rime fabric that's stretched over the plants, not allowing the insects to get in there. An early control at the proper time when they're in larva state, maybe with beneficial nematodes. There's a few other tricks, but that cucumber beetle has a bacteria in his system that once he chews or defecates on the plant, the bacteria goes through it and collapses the artery system in a plant. And what happens is the cucumbers shrivel up and the whole plant just can die within 2 days. Bad news, those guys.
Jennifer?
Yeah. No, I agree. I love that Bonide dust. And you can make a spray with it, or it's in a puffer bottle, and you just puff it on. And when you, it's talc-based, so it adheres to the underneath sides of the leaves, so even if it rains, you still have protection.
What about...
One quick point. Plant a lot of radish seeds right around your cucumbers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. What companion plants are going to keep some of the cucumber beetles away?
Got you. Radishes are top on a list. There's tansies, a few other ones. You can go online and get a complete list. There's a couple sites. I think, Mike, you might post one or something. Come to the links I gave you. There's a plethora of companion plants. out there for it.
That's what I will do. I'll get some of those companion plants out there. Jennifer, finally, I got a question a couple of weeks ago from a woman who said her mock orange wasn't blooming. You sent me some information.
Yeah.
And you say that something over several seasons that's going on with blooming plants.
Well, yeah. And, you know, the last two summers and the last two springs, not counting this spring, the two previous, the springs were cold and wet at a time when plants should have been making their roots for the growing season. And then they went, you know, we hit 90 degrees both of the past two summers in at the beginning of May and for extended periods. And so these poor plants were living on just, you know, their stored energy in their roots and not making new roots. They were just letting water transpire through them. So in essence, the savings accounts had run dry. And so the nutrients that go to flower production and flower buds are also the nutrients that are required for roots. And if the roots are stressed, then the plant won't make flowers. And that's what we're seeing a lot of that on many plants that, you know, and especially the mock oranges, that they tend to get lost back in the back corners and they don't get a lot of attention. And, you know, then all of a sudden people realize, oh, they're not blooming again. So, you know, use something that's going to help build up their root system. Like my favorite is the Bon-Eyed Root and Grow. And it's got a rooting hormone and a 3-10-3 fertilizer plus a B1. And that really helps the roots get back established. And any plant that has been through the last two summers will benefit from using that.
All right. Listen, Jennifer Brennan, fastest talking woman in horticulture. Dr. Wally Schmidtke, thank you so much. Jennifer, I was watching Dig in Chicago. I thought it looked great. Episode
Me
4.
Too.
And
yeah.
I hope people tune in next Saturday and continue to follow us. And I want both of you guys to have a great Sunday. All right.
Love you both and happy gardening.
Thanks, Wally.
Don't panic. Go organic.
That's a good way to...
I love it. Don't panic. Go organic.
Or go green. Bye-bye. Go green or go home.